Our scripture this morning is taken from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 16 through 20, if you'll follow along with the words on the screen there. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishermen, fishers of men." They immediately left their nets, and they followed him. And when he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words that I choose today not be my words at all, but instead may they be your words. Speak through me to touch hearts and touch lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Such a short story, just a few verses. One you might pass over quickly and not even pay that much attention to. But you know, every time I read this story, it completely blows me away. As a matter of fact, in many ways, it's mind-boggling. Look at the story. Jesus goes up to some fishermen that he didn't know at all, or didn't know very well at all, for sure, and he said, "Fellows, come and follow me." Now, they could have easily said, "Well, we can't go right now because our kids are playing in a tournament this weekend, and you know, we've got to be there for that tournament." Or, "No, I can't go because I promised some friends I'd play golf this weekend, and I've got to make that golf date." You know how important that is. And on our list goes. Or they could have said, "Now, wait a minute, now, what's in it for me? If I stop what I'm doing and I follow after you, what's in it for me? Or what's the expectation? What are you wanting me to do out there? Is it going to be hard work? Are you making lots of demands of me? What are you expecting of me?" It doesn't say any of that, does it? What does it say? It says that Jesus told them, "Come and follow me," and immediately thereafter they did what? They took their nets, they threw them on the ground, and they went after him. That's all it says. They threw down their nets, and they went after him. You see, these were the greatest volunteers the world has ever known. Jesus had no money to offer them a job. He was offering them a chance to have their lives changed. He said, "Come and follow me." And they didn't ask any questions. They didn't come up with any excuses. They just said, "Okay." They threw their nets down and they went after him. Now, I've been a United Methodist my entire life, and I've never had that kind of luck getting volunteers for anything. I had a man tell me one time he had been around a number of people who had colds, and he might get a cold himself, so he couldn't help. I could write a book on excuses why people say, "Well, I just can't do that right now," or, "I've already done my part, I'm burned out, let somebody else do it." There are always a lot of excuses for why we can't or won't volunteer our time. These men, on the other hand, threw down their nets, and they went after Jesus. I want you to note that Jesus called ordinary people to be disciples. They were not very well educated. They were not great leaders. They would not have gotten up and spoken in front of a crowd. They were just ordinary folks, just plain ordinary people. But Jesus called them to an extraordinary task. He called them to do things they could not ever imagine they'd be able to do. I knew a man years ago named Farrell Lockwood. I was the associate minister at a church, and every Sunday morning for more than 35 years, without fail, rain or shine, cold or hot, Farrell Lockwood would come down to the church every Sunday morning before anybody else, unlock all the doors around the church. And then he would go in, he would turn on all the lights. And he'd turn on the heat, and he'd turn on the air conditioning, and get everything ready for people to come to church. He did that every morning for more than 35 years. And then he would go take his post outside the main door to the worship center. And he greeted everybody who came to church. He hugged all the women. He shook the hands of all the guys. He welcomed everybody into the church. And you know something? I bet you that 75% of the people in that church had no idea how those doors got unlocked. They had no idea how the lights got turned on. They didn't know how the air conditioner or the heat got turned on. They just assumed it was all done when they got to church and somebody took charge of it. He did it every Sunday morning for more than 35 years. One day, a person in the church came to him and said, "You know, we want to have a day to honor you at church." And he looked this guy straight in the face and said, "I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I don't do any of this for your sake. I do this for God's sake." He said, "I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't lead a committee. I can't stand up in front of the church. But I can unlock doors, and I can turn on lights, and I know how to turn on the air conditioning. And that's just what I do for the Lord's sake, not for your sake." That's the kind of people that Jesus called to be disciples. Just ordinary folks. Just plain ordinary folks. He called them to follow him and do things they could not imagine ever being able to do. Today I want us to take a look at servant volunteers in the church. You see, the church could not function without them. Since the beginning of the early days of the church, we had volunteers in every position in the church. We could not function without them. Trinity United Methodist Church could not function without our servant volunteers. And that's what we refer to them as, servant volunteers, not just volunteers. And we've got some of the most wonderful volunteers in the entire world right here in this church. But on a percentage basis, we don't have nearly enough. Not nearly enough people to do the work of the Lord in this church and in this community. I believe that every single person in this room is called to serve in the name of Christ. We're called to do something, be it pulling teeth, be it going to some strange place and taking cold showers, whether you're stuffing envelopes or teaching a class or whatever it is, we're all called to do something in the name of Christ. We're called to serve in some capacity. I was in Louisville, Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. I went to visit a member of our church who moved to Louisville several months ago. And we had dinner together, and she cannot stand Louisville, Kentucky. She doesn't like the weather. She doesn't like the people. She doesn't like her job. She doesn't like anything about it. That's all she wanted to talk about. She's a very nice person, a very dear friend, but she does not like Louisville, Kentucky. I got on the plane to go back home, and there was a lady sitting next to me. She and her family had just moved to Louisville a few months before. And you know what she said? "I love Louisville, Kentucky. I love the weather. I love the people. I love my job." And I'm like, whoa, what is the difference here? Why does one love it and one hate it? And I finally figured it out. The one who loved it had invested herself in the community. She had volunteered. She had given of her time. She'd gotten involved in all kinds of activities. And it made all the difference in the world in the way she viewed that community and her church and her neighborhood and everything. When you invest yourself, it makes all the difference in the world in the way you feel about things. You can apply the same thing to the church. The happiest people I know in Trinity are our volunteers. They love what they do. They're glad to make a difference. They look forward to coming to church. They are people who love this church, but more importantly, they love the Lord. And they are genuinely happy people. And I like being around them. They make my life better. They make your life better. They just make everything better. If you look closely at this story in Mark's gospel, you'll see that Jesus was calling these guys to go way outside their comfort zone. Now think about that. These were just simple fishermen. They were good fishermen, I have no doubt about that. But Jesus was calling them to come and start the church. Did you know that? To start the church. And Jesus was calling them to come and heal the sick and raise the dead and witness and minister to the people, things they'd never done before. He was calling them to go way outside their comfort zone. And their response was to drop their nets and to follow after him. To go exactly where he led them. Not knowing what was ahead, but knowing that it was the right thing to do. I knew a bright young couple, both honor graduates from college, Both offered wonderful jobs with opportunities to progress within the company. But they came to me one day and they said, "Troy, we've made the decision that we want to go with the Wycliffe Bible Society and go and live in the jungle, in a hut in the jungle." I'll never forget the first conversation I had with their parents. Like, "Troy, can you talk some sense into these folks? I mean, they're bright, they've got these great job opportunities, and they want to go live in a hut in the jungle, for heaven's sakes?" But I'm telling you, they got up in front of the church one day, and they had such passion and such joy and such excitement about what they were going to be doing that I have never seen parents more proud in my life of their children when they realized how much it meant to them to be able to go and do as volunteers. All they got was a small stipend, a small amount of money, a place to live and food. That's all they got. But they were genuinely happy. I'm not suggesting we've got to go live in a hut in the jungle, but I am telling you we've got to follow Jesus where he leads us. When he says, "Follow me," we've got to follow him where he leads us. Jesus says we are to become fishers of men. We're to be out there witnessing to the masses, bringing people into the kingdom, telling folks about the love of Christ, and making a positive difference in their lives. Have any of you ever heard of a town called Statesboro, Georgia? Anybody ever heard of Statesboro, Georgia? Any of you ever been there? How about that? I'm surprised. I lived in Statesboro one time, and I was the youth director of the church there at Pittman Park United Methodist Church, which is right across the street from Georgia Southern University. And we had about 75 people in our youth group. We had a wonderful, wonderful summer working with the youth. There was in our youth group a young boy named Glenn Graham. Now, Glenn Graham was about 16 years old at the time I first met him. He was mentally challenged. He literally was not capable of doing anything to amount to anything. But this is kind of a side note. I remember the time when the youth were leading the worship service one Sunday morning, and Glenn Graham came up to me about a month ahead of time. He said, "Troy, I would like to preach at that service." I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You want to preach at that service? He couldn't read. He didn't know how to read, but he wanted to preach at the service. And I said, yeah, Glenn, sure you can. And I sat in the worship center of that church every day for a month and listened to Glenn rehearse his sermon over and over and over and over again until it came time for him to preach. Well, Glenn had no skills, but he went off to a training school to learn, listen to this. Now, he went to learn how to plant flowers. And he learned how to plant them. And he came back to Statesboro, and he managed to get a part-time job at Georgia Southern University planting flowers on campus. And he came to the staff one day, and he said, "You know, I would like to volunteer my time to plant flowers here at the church. Would that be okay?" And we said, "By all means, that would be fine." And I'll never forget the first day when Glenn went out to plant those flowers. You've never seen anybody plant flowers like this guy. I mean, he very, very carefully dug out the hole so that it was just the right depth and just the right width and had just the right amount of soil. And then he'd carefully put those flowers in there and lovingly and tenderly covered them up. And he just planted flowers all over the campus. Well, Glenn died when he was in his mid-20s. And I did his funeral. And I remember the day walking out of the church and looking at all those flowers. That's all that Glenn could do, was plant flowers. But you see, he planted them to the glory of God. And they lived for a long time. And every time we saw them, they reminded us of Glenn and how Glenn took up the call to follow after Jesus. Do we? Do we answer that call? Do we do what we can do? Do we volunteer our time and our services to serve the Lord? Do we? Really? In little ways, in big ways, it doesn't matter whether you're pulling teeth or stuffing envelopes or serving coffee, or cleaning up after church, or teaching a Sunday school class. Whatever we do in the name of the Lord, it makes a difference in the lives of people. There is a ministry in this church for every single person. If we have 4,000 members, we have 4,000 ministers. We're all called to be in ministry. In Mark 1:20, it says they threw down their nets and they followed after Jesus. That's what they did. They followed after Jesus. They gave their lives in service to Him. We called her Miss Buddy. Strange name, isn't it? Miss Buddy lived in Pelham, Georgia, another little South Georgia town. For 52 years, Miss Buddy taught the preschool Sunday school class. She once told me I could never teach people over 4 years old. She said, "What does that say about me?" But you could go into that Sunday school room any given Sunday and see Miss Buddy on the floor playing with the kids. When she was in her 70s, she was still on the floor playing with the kids in the preschool Sunday school room. When she died, the church received over 1,000 letters from children, now adults, who said, "Miss Buddy changed my life. Miss Buddy changed my life." She never taught a class of people over 4 years old. Well, let me tell you something. I know what a difference Miss Buddy made because I was one of those children. I sat on the floor with Miss Buddy and played with her when I was about 3 or 4 years old. You don't think it makes a difference volunteering in the church? You don't think it makes a difference being a servant volunteer in the community? Wherever we live or wherever we go to serve, it makes all the difference in the world. Let me close by sharing this with you. We all know about the different kinds of birds that migrate from one part of the country to the next, geese or sandhill cranes or others. We know how they fly in a V formation. Most of you know why they do that, don't you? The lead bird creates a wind draft that makes it easier for the other birds to fly. And when you fly a long distance, you need all the help you can get. But you know something? That lead bird has more stress on him than any of the other birds. It's really tiring. It's hard, hard work. But it makes all the difference in the world for the others. So periodically, the one in the lead has to drop back and another bird takes its place and leads the way. Let me suggest this morning that that's what we're about. They were called to help lead the way for others, to be the wind beneath the wings for other people, to lift them up, to be that air draft that leads them up, that lifts them up. But my dear friends, we all have to take turns, don't we? We all have to take our turn in lifting up those around us. Jesus said, "Follow me." And what will your response be? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we've heard that call, but we've had all kind of excuses why we couldn't do it. We were just too busy, or we thought it was too tough. We thought you expected too much of us. But, oh God, beginning today, may we be more like those regular folks called disciples. May we set aside all that we have, all that we do, and follow after you. Amen.